Good morning and welcome to worship from Murfreesboro Baptist Church. It is good to see you here this morning, and as always, it is good to have those of you who listen to us on the radio and watch us on the internet every week. There are several announcements in the back of your bulletin. The nominating committee meeting that you see there has been canceled. It will be rescheduled, and Teresa should be in touch with you about that. Also, the Vacation Bible School that is happening at the end of this month, Sarah is still in need of some volunteers to help her with that. So if you are able to do that, please, please get in touch with Sarah. And for those of you who are listening to us on the radio or the internet, if you have children that are age 3 through 5th grade, you are more than welcome to bring them to Vacation Bible School with us. That's from 9 to noon, Monday through Friday, the last week of the month. And lastly, don't forget about the pancake and sausage breakfast, which is coming up the Saturday of the Watermelon Festival. If you need tickets for that, please see Teresa or one of our deacons. But now, and food bank. Food bank is not on the bulletin, but it is going to happen Tuesday the 19th, as always scheduled. So if you're able to help out with food bank, that's 1:30 this Tuesday in our parking lot. And now let us stand and worship as we sing our choral call to worship. His name is wonderful. Seated. Will you join me now in our spoken call to worship? O Lord, who may abide in your tent?
Who may dwell on your holy hill?
Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right.
Those who speak truth from our heart.
Those who do no evil to friends and neighbors. Those who do not profit from the poor.
Those who do these things shall never end the week.
These, O Lord, may abide in your tent.
These may abide.
Let us pray together. Most holy God, who has redeemed us by your steadfast love, we offer our praise to you this day and every day. For you are gracious and merciful. You look with love upon all you have made, and even as we continue to make mistakes and struggle through our doubts, you continue to call us into the new life made possible by Jesus. So as we worship you this hour, we pray that your presence might be made known in our lives, not just as individual disciples, but also as united members of the one body of Christ. Help us, O God, to hear anew your good news, and help us also to proclaim that good news. To the glory of Christ the Lord, amen. Let us now stand together and sing our hymn of praise, number 354, Praise Him, Praise Him.
got a story from the book of Luke. Can you tell me where that's from? Is it the New Testament or the Old Testament?
Yeah.
Very good. Well, in this story, Jesus goes to visit two sisters, and their names were Mary and Martha. And when he got there, each one of them did something different. Martha was busy. She was cooking supper and cleaning the kitchen, making sure Jesus had something to drink. She never had a chance to sit down. But her sister Mary did not do anything to help her. All she did was sit on the floor and listen to Jesus. Now, how do you think Martha felt about her sister? That's a pretty good word. Ungrateful is a good word. She was mad. She thought her sister was being extra lazy. But do you know what Jesus said when Martha complained to him? He told her that Mary had actually made the better choice. Even though the things that Martha was doing were important, they weren't as important as listening to Jesus. And what that means for us is that even though there are a lot of important things in our lives, like school and our families, the most important thing will always be listening to Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you communicate with us in many ways, through Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, and through other faithful disciples. Help us to know when you are speaking, and help us to listen to you. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, in the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 10a. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." The word of God for us, the people of God. As we turn now to our time of prayer together, we continue to be in prayer for T.W. Hill, for Larry Futrell, for Randy Copeland, and for Percy Bunch. We also continue to pray for Freddie's granddaughter, Brandy Harris. And we also pray for the friends and family of Octavius Cooper, who was a student at Hertford County High School who died in a boating fishing accident on Friday. So we certainly pray for him and his family and for the students who will miss him. Are there others to add to these? Yes, Jane has surgery scheduled early this week, so we certainly pray for her as she continues through that. And we certainly continue to pray for Genevieve Broadhead as well. And we give thanks to God, Andrea, to have you here with us this morning. It is so good to see you. If there are no others, let us pray silently and then together as one.
Lord, as we are gathered for worship, we know that there are brothers and sisters who cannot be here with us for a variety of reasons, each one unique in their needs. They have to be absent from this body. And so we pray that you would be present in the lives of each one. May you bring healing and hope and peace and wholeness as each one needs. And Lord, may we be reminded that you do hear our prayers. You listen to us when we speak. When we call on your name, you are there. So we call once again this morning for these brothers and sisters, that you may do in their lives what you have done in the lives of so many. And we ask this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Let us now stand together and sing our hymn of thanksgiving, number 612, Jesus is all the world to me. Let us now, as an act of glad and sincere worship, offer up freely and cheerfully a portion of the gifts we've received to the glory of God and to the service of His kingdom. Let us pray together. May you bless these gifts, O God, and may you bless those who have given them. Together, Lord, may the gifts and the givers unite to do the good work of your kingdom, to meet the real needs of our community, and to proclaim the unfailing love of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, in whose name we offer this and all of our prayers. Amen. Thank you, choir, and Paula, and thank you, Calvin, for joining us on occasion. It is a pleasure and a joy always to hear you worship the Lord. Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary,
who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of God for us, the people of God. Like the parable of the Good Samaritan that we heard Jesus tell last week, these verses today, which follow right on the heels of that parable, have also been read and preached with great regularity, which means we're probably all familiar with the sisters Martha and Mary. And the fact that we're so familiar with these verses likely means that we have more often than not looked at this story as offering an example of the right way to be and an example of the wrong way to be. After all, the story unfolds in such a way that it's plain to see that it's better to listen and to be contemplative and serene than it is to be busy attending to all that needs to be done. On the one hand, there's Martha, the worker bee who never ceases in scurrying around the house to cook and clean and make sure that things are just so for their guests. She never leaves her feet, always busy going to and fro, cooking the supper and pouring the wine and setting the table, and so on and so on and so on. She has no time to sit and listen. There is far, far too much to do. On the other hand, though, is her sister Mary, who sits on the floor like a knot on a log, enraptured by every word from Jesus' mouth. She doesn't offer to do so much as lift a finger to help her busy sister, opting instead to give her entire focus to Jesus. So it's obvious, isn't it, who is right and who is wrong? Mary is doing what is right. She has chosen to let the household worries take a back seat to her desire to sit and listen to all that Jesus has to say. Jesus even remarks that she has chosen the better part. It seems like there is an obvious choice to be made. We can either be like Mary, or we can be like Martha. And nobody would ever want to be a Martha. But then again, maybe it isn't quite that obvious. Maybe it isn't such a clear-cut either-or decision to make. Perhaps it's a bit more complicated. For remember what we discovered a few weeks ago when we asked if following Jesus was hard or if it was easy. We decided that in reality it was both hard and easy. The either-or answer did not work well with that question. And the more we sit with the story of Mary and Martha, the more we realize that the either-or answer falls short here as well. Now, to be perfectly clear, we cannot and should not misconstrue what Jesus says about Mary choosing the better part. In this particular situation, when Jesus stops by for a visit, the best thing we could do would be to sit at his feet and listen with open and attentive ears. When the gospel is being proclaimed, the right thing to do is to give it our full attention. But here's the thing. Just because Mary has chosen the better part in this specific situation does not mean that Martha has done something inherently wrong
or that her hospitality was unwelcomed. And neither does it mean that Mary will never have to help her sister again. If we were to make these five verses the guiding principle for our lives of faith, we would miss something vital. And that's because the practice of welcoming strangers and caring for travelers is a cornerstone of what it means to be God's people. Remember, for example, what we read earlier from Genesis. There we found Abraham sitting in the entrance of his tent, taking a break during the heat of the day. And as he sat there, three men, as if out of nowhere, appear standing before him. But Abraham does not know what we know. Whereas we were told in the very first verse that this is the Lord, in Abraham's eyes, these are just three men on a journey. So when Abraham greets them with "my Lord," he's not saying "my God" so much as he is saying "sirs." From Abraham's perspective, these three men are merely travelers, strangers in need of sustenance. So he does what God's people ought to do. He shows them generous hospitality. He calls for a little water to be brought to them so that they might drink and wash their feet. He invites them to rest under the shade tree and asks them if they would like some bread. The men accept his hospitality, so Abraham quickly scampers away to do the good work of taking care of his guests. He asks Sarah to get some of the good flour to make a few cakes of bread, and Abraham himself runs off to select a choice calf so that it could be butchered for a meal. And then, once it's all ready, he takes the fresh beef and the curds and the milk and the bread and the water to set before the weary travelers. And he has done all this not because it was God who stood before him, for he doesn't learn that until later. Rather, Abraham does these things because that's just how God's people ought to treat people, with kindness and hospitality. But the fact that it was God before him reminds us of another important piece of the puzzle. Remember what Jesus said near the end of Matthew's gospel. "Come," he says, "you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." When we hear these words, we realize that an unavoidable expectation of our discipleship is that we will treat people as if they were Jesus, that we will love them and welcome them and care for them with generous hospitality. Jesus says that the ones who do that will inherit the kingdom. So between the story of Abraham welcoming travelers and Jesus telling us to care for the least among us, we get the clear picture that being hospitable is a defining characteristic of God's people. We saw that on full display just last week in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Listen again to all that the Samaritan did for that wounded traveler. He stopped with compassion. He dressed and wrapped his wounds. He put him on his own animal, took him to an inn, nursed him through the night, and even left extra money to pay for more treatment. The Samaritan had mercy. He went out of his way to be hospitable to the stranger in need. So there can be no question that in both the larger biblical narrative and in the immediate context of Luke's gospel, serving others hospitably is vitally important to one's identity as a person of God. And with that in mind, let us return again to the home of Mary and Martha. After a while of running around and doing all of the things that a good host should do in order to be hospitable, Martha stops, exasperated by her sister's unhelpfulness. She lets her frustration be known to Jesus and asks him to tell Mary to get to work. As faithful and godly Jews, that is what they were supposed to be doing for their guest. But when Jesus answers her, his words are not what we expect, and they are certainly not what Martha expected. For she had every right to be upset with what she perceived as her sister's laziness. When Jesus speaks, however, we realize that in his presence, the expected norms get turned upside down. Jesus does not care that Mary has ignored the housework so that she could sit at his feet and listen. In fact, he wishes that Martha had been able to make that same choice. But when he looks at her, red-faced and angry with her sister, he doesn't scold her for scurrying around the kitchen instead of listening to him. Instead, he looks at her with what feels like compassion. And with a tone of kindness and understanding in his voice, he says to her, "Martha, Martha." For it's not that he disapproves of her hospitality. At many other points in Luke's gospel, Jesus is explicit in calling his disciples both to be hospitable to others and to rely on hospitality from others. Rather, it seems to be that Jesus is lamenting her lack of wisdom in this situation. It's not that the actions themselves upset him, but her inability to understand that all of those things in that moment were not nearly as important as the one thing that Mary was doing, which was listening to the gospel message. And when we read this story through that lens, it enables us to avoid that clumsy, ill-fitting either-or choice that we initially seem to be faced with. This story, especially as it is situated right after the Good Samaritan, does not ask us to make a once-and-for-all choice to be like either Martha or Mary. Rather, it shows us that we must have the flexibility and the wisdom to be like both Martha and Mary. For there is space in God's kingdom for both contemplation and activity. There is a need for engaged listening and holy labor. It's not as if one is inherently better or worse than the other. Both are needed if we are individually to be disciples of Jesus, and both are needed collectively for the church. Just imagine where we would be if Mary's and Martha's didn't both exist. In a world where people only ever sat and listened and attended to spiritual disciplines, there would never be wells dug in Africa. There would be no shelters for the homeless. There would be no food bank in our parking lot on Tuesday. In such a world, all of the important and needed acts of hospitality that go into building God's kingdom would never get done. Likewise, however, in a world where all we ever did was dig wells, cook meals, and distribute food, then there would be no space for people to sit and rest in the presence of God. There would be no prayer walks or contemplative Bible studies or any other devotional practice. And as we both know, those moments when we get to sit and be still and listen for God are vital and life-giving. this story does not pit the Marys of the world against the Marthas. It does not ask those who are naturally inclined to be like Martha to snuff out their desire to do justice, love mercy, and be hospitable so that they can always sit quietly. And just as importantly, neither does it mean that those who are naturally inclined to be like Mary never have to do justice, love mercy, and be hospitable. Both are needed, for each one feeds the other to bring about more growth. For remember, it was Martha who took the initiative. When Jesus entered the village, it was Martha who invited Jesus and welcomed her into their home. Without her act of hospitality, Mary never gets the chance to sit and listen. And similarly, when Jesus speaks with Mary, the implication is that she will then go forward to do something with what she has heard. The expectation of Jesus is that those who hear the gospel will then go to live the gospel. Neither one is by herself wholly and completely a disciple. A busy, frenzied service, dedicated and genuine though it may be, falls short. And it's equally true that listening and contemplation that never spurs us to activity also falls short. We hear James's admonition ringing in our ears: faith without works is dead. But even though they are both needed if we are to be disciples, the truth remains that we cannot be both all the time. And neither does Jesus expect us to be both at all the time. It would have been better for Martha to have joined her sister on the floor in listening to Jesus. In that moment, in that particular situation, the better thing to do was to be contemplative and still and listen. But in the parable of the Good Samaritan that came immediately prior, the better thing to do was to be active and helpful and hospitable to the stranger. If the Samaritan had walked by the dying man so that he could go pray about it, he would have been no better than the priest or the Levite who also walked by. And that's where wisdom comes in. That's where the Holy Spirit must be our guide. For as we saw a few weeks ago, following Jesus rarely offers us the chance to make blanket either-or decisions. And that truth has been re-emphasized today. The question this story poses is not, should I be like Martha or should I be like Mary? Rather, it asks us questions that require far more nuanced and fluid answers. How can I be like Martha and like Mary? How can I be a disciple who is willing to listen and willing to do? How can I be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in understanding which one a particular moment calls for? These questions don't necessarily lend themselves to easy answers. But in searching for those answers, we will find ourselves being led to a deeper, richer faithfulness. So let us be like Martha when that is called for. Let us be people who welcome Jesus into our lives by caring for strangers and providing hospitality to those who need it. But let us also be like Mary when that is what is needed. Let us be people who rest in the presence of God by seeking out moments for renewal and encouragement. Being disciples of Jesus means that we can and should be both. And it means that we can trust in God's guidance to nudge us towards whichever one a particular situation calls for. Let us pray together. God of all grace and mercy, who calls all people to be disciples of Jesus Christ, your Son, we are thankful that you have called each of us with our unique gifts and abilities to be his disciples. May you show us when to be quiet, when to listen, and when to rest. But may you show us also when to be active, when to move, and when to be hospitable. And may we as disciples be faithful in doing both. For it is in doing both that we can continue to build up your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in the holy name of Christ the Lord. Amen. I invite you now to stand and sing together our hymn of invitation, number 384, Speak to My Heart. And as we sing, I invite you to respond in whichever way the Spirit may be leading this morning. Let us stand and sing together. Let us go from here to seek Jesus so that we may know when to be like Mary and when to be like Martha. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.